The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, and Happy New Year! My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Man, can you believe that 2025, it's already here? I feel like it's just completely snuck up on me. Yet here we are, it's the new year, and we got to make the most of it. And man, I am so excited to see what God has in store for this year. You see, last year, God, man, he really did a lot. Something that the Lord has been telling us at Freedom Fellowship Church was that if his people, if we unite, if we pray, and if we focus on obeying him, he's going to move mightily in the United States of America. And we are seeing the beginnings of that in this day. And honestly, I've been so encouraged because the body of Christ, despite our doctrinal differences, despite the fact that some of us may look at things a different way, the body of Christ is uniting. Many of us are beginning to realize that, hey, we're all on the same team here, right? It's not productive for members of the body of Christ to be warring within each other because, oh, well, you don't interpret this scripture the same way that I interpret this scripture, or you don't have the same traditions that we do. We all worship the same God. We all serve the same Jesus. And it's not productive for the church to be tearing down each other. Instead, focus on the Great Commission, which is what Jesus commanded us to do before he ascended into heaven. He said to go into all the earth, making disciples of all nations. So we're going to continue to do that. And I want to encourage all of you, don't get wrapped up in talking about the wicked things that are happening in the world, about the corruption that's happening in the political arena, and don't talk about, you know, maybe the failings of certain ministries. Yes, those things will happen. God is a righteous judge, and he will judge righteously. But you have to ask yourself, what have you done? When you look back at 2024, I want you to ask yourself, how much of the time that I spent in 2024 was it spent on obeying the Lord? Or did I spend the majority of my time pursuing money, pursuing the desires of my heart, maybe complaining about money? What were you spending the majority of your time doing in 2024? And if for the vast majority of us, if we're honest with ourselves, very little time was spent on acting out the will of God. We should make a determination in our heart that this year, in 2025, we will put God first. Now, what does that look like? What does putting God first look like in 2025? Think of somebody like Abraham. God said, hey, leave your father's household, go to a land I will show you. So Abraham's life became completely interrupted, right? Any plans that he had in his life, they were out the window. You know what I'm saying? Instead, he had to completely rearrange his life to follow the will of God. So God said, you're going to leave your family, leave your father's household, and go to your land, or I'm going to show you. So Abraham had to pack up everything and leave. And he didn't know where he was going. So his entire life got upended in order to obey God. Think of what it would have been like for somebody like Noah. Here, Noah is minding his own business, right? Maybe he had a decent job, right? Made a decent income. And now God said, hey, Noah, I want you to take on this project. You're going to build an ark, and it's going to be large enough to house two of every kind of animal. And the scripture tells us that sometime after Noah was 500 years old, that's when God commanded Noah to build an ark. And then it also tells us that when Noah was 600 years old, that's when he entered the ark with his family. So sometime after 500, all the way to 600. So we know at least for decades, Noah was obeying the Lord. Think if you have any of you ever taken on, you know, maybe a renovation job or a construction project. Oh yeah, we'll just renovate the kitchen a little bit, right? Oh, we're just going to extend the house. And the vast majority of the time, what do you say? Oh, it'll just take a week. Maybe it'll just take 2 weeks, right? It'll be quick. It'll be easy. 2 months later, it's still going. You know what I'm saying? But for Noah, God said, you're going to build this thing. And here Noah was building this ark for decades to obey the Lord. Now think of what kind of lifestyle change that would have taken for Noah and his family. Well, Noah would have had his regular work to do, and then any extra time he had, well, they would have been spending building the ark. Any extra money he had, well, we got to buy materials for this ark, right? Noah probably had to learn about carpentry. He probably had to learn about architecture and engineering. He had to learn about how to take care of all these animals. His entire life became reoriented around obeying the Lord Almighty, right? So it wasn't a matter of, oh, okay, well, yeah, it's just going to be a little hobby. I'm going to build this ark, right? If Noah took this attitude, oh, it's just something I do in my free time, he would never finish the ark. He had to prioritize the building of the ark. So his life had to be rearranged to make room for obeying God. And in 2025, that's the kind of attitude that we have to take. If God says you must do this thing, then our life needs to be rearranged to make room for the will of God in our own life. And something we have to understand as Christians is that the calling of God, it's not something of our own choosing, right? We don't just go around I like that, I like this, I like that. No, the calling of the Lord is something that is thrust upon you. You think Noah, when he was just minding his own business, thought to himself, oh, you know what would be so great? I'm going to spend the next 30 years building a boat. I guarantee you that is not what the first thing in his mind was, right? I guarantee you Abraham wasn't saying to himself, oh yeah, you know what? I'm just going to leave my inheritance and my father and all my family behind and go off to some random place. Even Moses, you have to understand, Moses was already married and settled in with his family when the burning bush appeared, meaning Moses had to leave behind his wife and his family to obey the Lord. So this huge interruption came in their life so that Moses could obey God. The calling of the Lord does not come at our convenience. Instead, we have to make room for God in our lives. And so if you look at your own life, this past year, 2024, you can ask yourself, did I actually make room for the will of God in my life? Did I actually prioritize the Lord? In the vast majority of Christians, it's not the case. Think about what we spend the majority of our time praying about. God, please bless me concerning this. God, I want this. God, where is my spouse? When am I going to get married? God, I need this. These financial issues taken care of, right? The majority of our prayer time is spent in the things that we need and the things that we want. But God is desiring a people who instead are asking him, God, what can I do for you? What is your will in my life? These are the kinds of people that God is looking for in this day. And we should count ourselves and we should strive to be among those few people that will prioritize the will of God. Now, every single one of those people that were called to the Lord, think of Abraham. Yes, he had to leave everything behind. That's what it requires. You have to be a living sacrifice. Your life is no longer your own. It's been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. So your life is not your own. You have to completely devote yourself to the calling and destiny that God has laid out for you. But as you do that, God will remember you and God will bless you. Just as he said to Abraham, if you do this, leave everything behind, you will be blessed. Your name will be great. I will make you a great nation and all the nations on earth will be blessed through you. And we're still celebrating Abraham to this day. So that's an amazing thing. God does not forget those that draw near to him and that obey him completely. And this is something very important to understand because Jesus very clearly tells us that those that are true followers of Christ are those that do the will of the Father God. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name did we not drive out demons? And in your name did we not perform many miracles? So these were prophets, apostles. They were able to lay hands on the sick and cast out demons. They performed miracles in the name of Jesus. These were not ordinary Christians. Some of them were leaders. Maybe they had large ministries. And yet Jesus says, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Now that is a scripture that should put the fear of God in every single one of us. Because it's not the miracles that differentiates a true follower of Jesus. Now the scripture tells us, yes, these signs will follow them that believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will speak in other tongues, right? These are signs of a believer, but it comes down to, at its core, those who do the will of the Father God. And we need to purpose in our hearts that we will do the will of the Father, because there are some out there that have deceived themselves, where they have pushed forward their own agendas and they use all kinds of religiosity and spirituality to dress it up. But Jesus will tell them, away from me, you evildoers. So he continues, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down and streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, this is very important to understand because it shows why so many Christians have been continually frustrated. To start, one, Jesus never said that the storms will never come, that you'll never face trials and tribulations. No, whatever it is that you build in your life will come up against opposition and will face storms and turmoil. So that's something that Jesus tells us, right? So we shouldn't pray, Lord, that I would never face any trials. Lord, that I would never have any opposition or troubles in my life or any storms in my life. No, Jesus said the storm is going to come. Every part in your life at some point will be shaken, including your businesses, your personal relationships, and your finances. But those who have built up their house on the rock, which is upon Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the will of God, even when the storms beat against it, it will not fall. But those who do not build it upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, it's like building it on the sand. And this is where so many Christians get frustrated. Because think of the time that you have spent maybe building up your ministry, building up your business. Okay, maybe you take a part of it and it's on the sand. And maybe you've invested 10, 20 years, 30 years into it and all of your life savings into it. But if it's been built on the wrong foundation, it will come crumbling down. And then that day you may be so upset and cry out, God, why is this happening to me? Why do I continually get frustrated by these things? Why are the things that I'm building crumbling before me? And you have to ask yourself, you have to look in the mirror and say, have I been building this house on the sand or have I been building it on the rock? This even happens with large ministries where portions of the foundation have not been built on the rock. And so when they come up against scrutiny, what happens? They crumble. So we have to be a people who every area of our life, your business, needs to be built on the foundation of the rock. What does that look like? Well, it means the vision comes down from God, right? You're going before the Lord and you're not assuming that you're going to do business the way they do in the world. Instead, you're going to ask the Lord, how do we approach our marketing strategies? How do we approach our hiring practices? Okay. What's the proper way to train our employees? What's the proper way to develop these products or sell them? Whatever it is that you do, every area of our life should be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about, you know, this pseudo religiosity. Oh, we're going to do everything God's way and this and that. understand following the will of God will translate to concrete business practices in your life. Think of what happened when there was a great disaster coming to Egypt, and the Lord showed a vision to Pharaoh and revealed the meaning of that vision to Joseph. And God filled Joseph with wisdom. And he, through the wisdom of God, was able to come out with concrete plans of actions and strategies for Egypt to be able to survive the great famine that was to come, right? They stored up a portion of their grain and food during the 7 years of prosperity. And because of that, they acted according to the revelation of God. He showed them what was going to happen and what they could do to prepare for it. And they followed and obeyed. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai, God gave them instructions for how that nation was going to be governed. This is how you will settle these kinds of property disputes. This is how you will settle these kinds of different disputes. This is how the nation is supposed to act and according to these things. By going into the presence of God, Moses got concrete laws and instructions directly from the Holy Spirit. It should be no different in this day. You are able to enter into the holies of holies, right? That veil has been torn. You can go into the presence of the Lord and say, God, how should I conduct this business? What does doing things your way mean in this business you have given me? In the ministry, right? We should not assume anything. Oh, well, this big ministry does this. No, every area we can go before the Lord. God, how should we conduct this ministry? When you do that and you ask God and involve him in every area of your life, then you're building that house on the rock. And the same goes with marriage, right? There's a lot of Christian marriages that have been built upon sand. And because of that, and maybe it's because of some assumptions that we have of what marriage is supposed to look like because of the media or the way we've seen our people around us, even our marriages had to be built on the foundation of the rock. Because if not, when the storms come, and let's face it, there will be troubles in marriage, right? There's going to be disagreements. There's going to be issues. But if it's built on the sand, it's going to fall apart and crumble. And you may say to yourself at that time, I've invested 30 years of my life in this marriage. But it doesn't matter how many resources or how much time you put into building that house. If you started on the wrong foundation, it will not stand up against the storms. Because a lot of people, they get caught into this sort of sunken cost fallacy, which is that, well, I've already spent so much money and time on this thing, so I might as well keep investing in it. Right? And maybe you see this in your own life, right? Maybe you see somebody where they're trying to make something work for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, even though it's not working clearly, but they don't want to feel like all the time that they put into that thing is wasted. So they'll continue down that path. If you're building it on the sand, you are just throwing that time and resources away. And when it crumbles, it's not going to be the fault of God. You built it on the sand. So decide in this day, I am going to prioritize obeying the Lord. And when that happens, that's when supernatural starts to happen in your life. That's when God, he carves a path for you in the wilderness, right? Before you are wandering on your own, like stumbling around in the wilderness. But when you submit yourself to the will of God, he will carve out a path in that wilderness and he will lead you to the promised land he has for you. So after Jesus tells this parable in Matthew chapter 7, it says, then Jesus finished saying these things and the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers and not like the teachers of the law. Now, why was Jesus able to speak with authority concerning the scriptures and the Father God? And it's really a simple thing. If you spend a lot of time with somebody, talking with them, getting close to them, you can start to speak with authority concerning that person. And if somebody tells you something that does not match with that experience, you will know that it's not right. For example, if you know that your husband or wife's favorite color is red, and somebody comes up to you and tells you that it's not red and that they actually hate the color red, you can tell them that they're wrong. Why? Because you spend time with this person and you know what they like. When you spend time with the Father God and with Jesus, right? And you're getting into the secret place and you're really having this relationship with him, you can speak with authority about what God is like. And it's the same with the scriptures. If you're reading the scriptures and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you, because that's what Jesus said, right? I'm sending you the Holy Spirit who will teach you all these things that I've been telling you, who will teach you in all things, right? So if you've been getting taught by the Holy Spirit concerning the scriptures, you will be able to speak with authority concerning those things. Because in Jesus's time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law, they had all the credentials, right? They devoted their entire life to studying the scriptures. And they, you know, they had sections of it memorized and all of these things. So in this day and age, right, they would have gone to seminar, maybe they'd have a doctorate in theology, right? All of these credentials, all this time that they spent studying and doing all of these things. Jesus did not go to their schools. Jesus did not get their credentials. And yet, when he spoke on the scriptures, it was infused with wisdom straight from above. Why? Because he had a relationship with the Father God. He said, I only do those things that I see my Father do, and I only say those things that I hear my Father say. So he had that close relationship with the Father God, so much so that when he was 12 years old, he went into the synagogue, and here he was debating with the spiritual leaders, right? With the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law. And they were all dumbfounded. They were amazed by this 12-year-old. Where is this wisdom coming from, right? So as you step into your calling, don't ever think, because the reason why I'm saying this, and I'm talking about the importance of obeying God fully and stepping into your destiny, it requires a life change. You have to be willing to rearrange your life to obeying God. And it's not something that, I wanted to do this, so I'm going to force myself into this thing. No, it's that the Lord came to you. He called you out and he said, go to this place I am sending you. Do this thing. And it's not something you chose for yourself. That becomes the number one priority. And in doing that, sometimes you may feel like you are unqualified to do it. But I will tell you today, as you choose to obey the Lord, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord will come upon you mightily, and he will enable you to do that which he called you. Just like he showed Noah what he needed to do to build that ark, well, God can show you what you need to do to fulfill your destiny. Just like when the Lord called Saul to be king over Israel and Saul was cowering away in the luggage. But then later on, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord came upon him and he was able to summon together all the armies of Israel against the enemy. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord will come upon you as you obey him. Okay? You don't need any credentials. You don't need to get any certifications according to the world. God's the one who anoints, and God is the one who appoints. The most important thing is that you choose today, I will obey the Lord, no matter the cost. And if you do that, I promise you, your year, 2025, is going to be such a supernatural and exciting adventure that God has already carved the path for you to follow this year. And man, it's exciting. And man, his presence will go with you and his blessings will follow you. So get excited, guys. 2025 is going to be a year like no other. We best buckle up and we best lock in on obeying God. Amen. So I want to thank you, Father God, for the words that have been spoken today, God. I thank you that this year, the people who are hearing my voice, that are choosing today, I will obey the Lord. I thank you, God, that this year they are going to step into the calling that you have for them. They're going to step into the perfect healing that you have for them, God. And they're going to step into the breakthrough that you have for them too, as they choose to obey you this day, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. And I thank you that it's going to be for your glory. It's going to be for the benefit of your people. In the name of Jesus, amen. And we thank you, God, that this nation, the United States of America, it is going to turn towards righteousness, the likes of which has never been seen before. I thank you, God, that all the nations on earth are going to bear witness to the great revival that is coming to America. And it's going to sweep across this nation from sea to shining sea In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Happy New Year. And again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Until next time, God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.